shared, we're in the middle of a series right now called PTSF, Post-Traumatic Stress Freedom. And we're taking a little bit of time to just evaluate and allow the Great Shepherd, Jesus, that's what he said he was, he said, I'm the Great Shepherd, to minister to our souls and to repair our souls and to heal our souls so that we can be who God's called us to be. Amen, somebody? And I just want to read this text and then we're going to dig into it. I guess I should mention this just in case you don't know, or if you just need a reminder or whatever. If you need looking for when do we take up the offering? We don't really take up offering. We don't pass buckets here, but what we do have are two giving stations at the back of each sanctuary door, or you can go online, give through text to give or PayPal, and all those options are available at redlifechurch.com. At the very bottom of the page, it says giving. You can't miss it. So digitally, electronically, or cash or check, that's how we do that. We're going to pray over the offering as we get into the word as well. So, and we thank you so much for your support of this mission, man. Okay, now we're ready to get into the word. You guys ready? Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. I'm going to read this text. We're going to pray. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Paul's writing and he says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will, say I will. Say it again, I will. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you so much for this time. We thank you so much for this moment. As we've experienced your anointing, experienced your presence, some of us have rededicated our lives to you already. Some of us maybe for the first time have said yes to you, Jesus, and we thank you for that. Lord, wherever we are in our walk with God, whether this is day one, whether this is day 1,000, Lord, you have another step for us to take. You have something you want to speak to our lives, something you want to speak to our hearts, and we just invite you to do that right now in this moment in Jesus' name. In fact, why don't you put your hand on your belly right now? Everyone repeat this after me. Say, Jesus. At home, join us. Say, Jesus, speak to me today. Open up my eyes. Open up my ears. Let me see what you want me to see. Let me hear what you want me to hear so I can do what you want me to do and be everything you've called me to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week, we began this series, and we've been talking about what's been happening really in the last couple of years and this idea that not just even the pandemic itself and beyond the pandemic, all the things we've experienced, all the turmoil to the nation, political strife, and all this nonsense, that this has created a situation where literally the entire globe has been under a tremendous amount of stress. Psychologists and people who study cultures for their lives, doctors with initials after name, they're calling this, they've called the last couple of years a global traumatic event, okay? A global traumatic stressor. Every single one of us, whether we have realized it or not, have been in some way affected with some sort of trauma, probably in our heart, in our mind, in our soul, that has created a lot of stress and has created just some weirdness and some things to not be right. Amen, somebody? And so we talked about that last week, and we talked about really asking ourselves honestly this question, how is your soul? How's your soul? When we say soul, we mean that's your mind, that's your heart, that's your emotions. That is the soulish realm of your being, okay? How is your soul? How are your thought patterns? How have your emotions been? Have they been stable? Have you been triggered? Have you been irritable? And a lot of us have probably not liked some of the answer to that question. And we talked about that and understood last week how Jesus, the Great Shepherd, has promised and wants to refresh your soul. Amen, somebody? How many are thankful we have a Great Shepherd that's refreshing souls today? Amen? Today we're going to talk about a little bit about how to take care of your soul. How to take care of your soul. I am a wonderful craftsman and builder. I mean, I'm just great working with my hands. You guys may not know that about me. It's a real hidden talent. Actually, that's a lie. That's not true at all. I should not own power tools or any tools, probably, for that matter, in many ways. And there have been many pieces of furniture throughout my wife and I's marriage that, you know, like you get from a box store or whatever, you get the instructions. There have been many pieces of furniture that I've put together the wrong way. In fact, there was one famous story when we lived in Florida. We had this kitchen table that we had bought from probably Walmart or something, and I put it together, you know, and we had it for years, this kitchen table, and it was always wobbly. I mean, it wouldn't fall over, but it would weeble and wobble, but it wouldn't fall down, and so I just thought, man, this was just a garbage, crappy, cheap table. And one day we had some friends over, I think for maybe like Michaela's like fifth birthday party. That's how long ago this was. But we had some friends over for Michaela's birthday party, and we're sitting around the table, and all the guys are like, why does this table wobble? I'm like, it's a cheap table from Big Lots or something. I don't know. And then they started to look at it and come to realize I had put it together wrong. I had some bar the wrong way, and within like 20 minutes, some men like were able they took the table apart and put it back together the right way, and then it was like nice and stable. It was like a nice steady table we had for a long time. And I've done that to more than one piece of furniture that I'm supposed to assemble, to be honest with you. And the reason is because what happens is a lot of times I get ahead of the instructions. You know what I mean? Like I start to see how the thing's taking shape, and then I just think, oh, I got it from here, and then I'll start putting it together, and then I'm like, oh, crap, I've had this one thing wrong, and then you got to take the whole thing, you know? And it's just the whole situation. Why? Because I stopped following the blueprint somewhere along the line. I usually stop following the instructions because I think I've got it, and then the whole thing gets wonky, and the whole thing doesn't work right, and the whole thing has to get torn down and put back together. And here's the thing. When we're in times of stress, when we're in times of emotional turmoil, when we're living through seasons where we're stressed out and we're dealing with stressors, and we're dealing with in high stress situations, and we're dealing with things that are traumatizing our soul, and sometimes we don't even realize it, but it's just the season because we're walking through it. We might not necessarily be feeling trauma personally, but just the world and the season that we're living in, we're dealing with the repercussions of that, and we're having that. Listen, it's real important during stressful situations to follow the instructions even more. Amen, somebody? And so here's the thing. I shared all that to say this. Philippians chapter 4, 6 and 7, the Word of God gives you and I a blueprint for God's peace. Okay? We have instructions right here from the New Testament on how to have peace from God. Okay? Okay? Peace. P-E-A-C-E. Not like a peace of God, but peace from God. Amen, somebody? Okay? Peace from God. We can have peace in our soul. And this is, I love that the scripture says it, that Paul writes this. He says, this peace from God in verse 7, he says, this peace from God is beyond our understanding. Meaning, it exceeds anything we can understand. This tells me and you that you and I can experience peace in our souls, peace in our minds, peace in our hearts, even when it doesn't make any logical sense for us to feel at peace. Amen? I'm going to say I'd like to have some peace that doesn't make any sense in my life. Amen? I would like to have peace that doesn't, even though everything, when you add it up, it shouldn't make sense, and I should be worried, and I should be stressed out, and I should be emotional. Man, it would be great to have some peace that doesn't make any sense to what's going on around me. Amen, somebody? Guess what? We can have it. And there's a blueprint for it. I want to go over the blueprint here real quick. Listen, God's blueprint for peace is real simple. It's really three things, okay? The first thing is this. God's blueprint for peace, we're going to go over these quickly, each one. Turn worry into prayer, tell God what you need, and then thank him for what he's already done. Amen? Now that's, I'm not making these things up. I'm taking these right from the text, right from the Word of God, right from the Bible, which is supposed to be our instruction manual as sons and daughters of God. Amen? Look at this, verse 6. He says, don't worry about anything, okay? Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything, okay? Listen, you and I are going to experience worry in this life. Amen, amen, somebody? There's always going to be a moment or a situation or a circumstance that I can't control that will give me cause to panic, that will give me cause to feel anxious. Some translations say don't be anxious for anything right there. It will make me have anxiety. It will make me feel nervous. It will make me feel fearful, okay? That's all a normal part of life. In fact, Jesus said it this way in John 16, 33. Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. It's going to happen. So this is not a blueprint to get out of fear or to get away from anything that causes trouble or to even run away and hide and shelter us from things that will cause us to worry. It's a blueprint of what to do, of how to have peace in the midst of things that should make us worry and feel anxious. And the first thing is this. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about anything. I'm going to simplify that to this. Turn worry into prayer. Let me just talk about me. When I begin to feel nervous, when I begin to feel fearful, when I begin to feel anxious about something, that is a big red flag in my mind and in my life that it's time to pray. Amen, somebody? When you, and I'm telling you, listen, I genuinely do. I can tell you, I genuinely, for the most part, live by this principle. When there is something that is worrying me, when there is something that makes me afraid, when there is something that I'm scared, listen, I begin to turn that worry into prayer. I am not going to sit there and dwell on something that I don't control, that I have oftentimes no control over, and I'm not going to let that thing rule my mind or rule my day. I instead am going to turn that thing into prayer. Amen? So if I'm worried about finances and I go, man, I don't know how the next couple of weeks we're going to get by, you know what I'm doing? When that worry starts to hit me, I might say, oh, God, you are the God who's promised to provide for me. Amen, somebody? You are Jehovah Jireh. You own the cattle on 1,000 hills. God, and you clothe the lilies of the valley. I begin to quote those scriptures, man. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. And you know what? As I begin to speak God's word over that worry, over that fear, over that anxiety, guess what? I'm turning worry into prayer. And now, instead of being anxious and nervous about something and sweating about something, now guess what? Now, even though I may still have that anxiety or I may still feel a little worried, now I'm connecting that worry to God. Amen? Turn worry into prayer. I dare you just to take that step. Say, man, every time this week I feel anxious about something, every time this week fear starts to rise up in my soul. Every time this week I begin to get worried and anxious and stressed out, I'm going to take a second and I'm going to turn that worry into prayer. Amen? God, I don't know how this is going to work, but God, I'm going to trust you. Lord, I ask you to move in this. And then this is the next thing he says. Turn worry into prayer. And then he says, tell God what you need. Tell God, in fact, everything that you need. Amen? Jesus should be the first place that I turn to, not the last place I turn to. Amen, somebody? And some of us, we got that all backwards. We run around to everybody else. We talk to our friends. We talk to our neighbors. We talk to social media. We talk to everybody else. We talk to lawyers. We talk to this and we talk to that. And there's nothing wrong with any of that stuff. All that stuff can be useful and helpful as well. But when we use that as the first line of defense instead of the second or third or fourth or last line of defense, and then all of a sudden when nothing else works, then we turn to Jesus, that's when we have a problem. Amen, somebody? Tell God what you need. Bring your worry, turn your worry into prayer, and let God know what you need. And then this third part is so powerful. Thank him. I'm just telling you what the Bible says here. Thank him for all he has done. There is something so profoundly powerful, and there is something that can bring God's peace into a situation when I simply begin to remind myself of everything God has already done in my life. Amen? When you begin to remember, this is exactly what happened in David's life in the Old Testament when David fights Goliath, right? The Bible says David's about to fight Goliath and they're like, man, this little runt David, he's gonna get destroyed by this 9-foot-tall, massive Philistine Goliath. And the Bible says that they took the king's armor, Saul, and they put it on David, but it was too big and too clunky for David. He couldn't fill it out. And David said, this isn't gonna work for me. And so he stripped off the armor and they were like, well, what are you gonna do, David? And David said this. David said, when I was watching my father's flock of sheep, what did he say? He said, one time a lion came out of the woods and tried to take one of my father's sheep, and I took my slingshot and I killed the lion with a slingshot. And he said, another time a bear came out of the woods and tried to take off with some of my father's sheep. And he said, I took that slingshot again and I killed the lion. And he said this. He said, the same God who rescued me from the paws of the lion and the jaws of the grizzly bear, he's going to be who rescues me from Goliath. When I begin to thank God and remind myself of the lions and the grizzlies and the things that God has already delivered me from, it gives me peace in my soul to remember, hey, if God brought me through that, he will bring me through this. Amen, somebody? If God got me through that time when I lost my job and I didn't know where the next meal was coming from, and all of a sudden God opened up a door, man, God can get me through this situation with my job. Amen? If God brought me through when I was lonely and depressed and needed a friend, and all of a sudden I look around, I've got a couple of friends that I didn't have a few years ago. I thank God for that. Man, God can bring me through this other situation I need in relationships. And you see what I'm saying? We got to remember, and there's something so profound, because what happens is when you're feeling worried and we're feeling stressed out and we're feeling anxious about some stuff, what happens is your brain begins to think that that's the way it's always going to be. And you begin, if you lie yourself, you think not only is it the way it's always going to be, but man, this is the way it's always been. You've just always lived like this. And you got to take a second and take inventory and say, no, you know what? It hasn't always been this way. God has done this and God has done this. And I've seen Jesus do this. Thank you, Lord, for everything you've already done. And as you remind yourself and remind your mind and remind your heart and remind your soul through praise and worship what God has already done, a peace comes over your life sometimes that says, hey, he's going to get you through this too. Amen, somebody? That's the blueprint. Turn worry into prayer. Tell God what you need. And thank him for what he's already done. Now, the question you might ask is, well, preacher, I've done that stuff, and I'm trying to do that stuff, but what if I do that stuff and it doesn't work? What if, but let me back up a little bit. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Thank you for all he's done. Verse 7, put verse 7 up there for me real quick. Verse 7 then says, then you will experience God's peace. So verse 6 is the roadmap. Verse 7 is the destination, okay? The peace of God that's beyond all understanding. But what if you do that and it doesn't work? What if I pray and pray and pray and it doesn't change the way I feel? What if I am telling God and it doesn't change? Let me just explain something to you real quick. Let me help you real quick. Listen, first of all, there is no option where the word of God doesn't work for the life of a believer who's living faithfully in Jesus Christ. Amen, somebody? The word will work when I work the word. Amen? The catch is this: the word may not work in the way or in the timeline that I want or need it to or think I need it to. Amen, somebody? So it's not a question of, so really the question is, what if the word doesn't work? The question is, what do I do? What can I do while I'm waiting for the word to work? Amen? Because again, we talked about this last week, Psalm chapter 19. I think verse 3, maybe verse 7, but the Psalm 19 was where we ended in the last week. It's the word of God that brings refresh. The word has the ability to refresh our soul, amen? So we're not going to dismiss the word, but I'm not going to just give you these Bible cliches and Sunday school answers, because I understand that you can work the word and it may take some time for the word to work. There may be some things we need to do to get by in the meantime while we're waiting on the word to work. But my hope and my trust and my faith is in Jesus and in his word. Amen, somebody? But I recognize there may be some things I need to do practically beyond just read my Bible and pray to deal with some stuff. Amen? For instance, Harvard Medical released this study about a year ago. They did a study on the actual chemical like makeup and the physical components of the brain, and they're relating what happens to the brain when it's under stress. And one of the conclusions that this study came away with was that people who are under especially a prolonged period of stress, listen, their brain chemistry and the neurological pathways, the way their brain functions and works, actually stress has the ability to rewire the way your brain works. Okay? Do you know this? It's similar, it's not the same, but it's similar to they found out that opiates do the same thing, especially beyond heroin, but OxyContin, fentanyl, and big pharmaceutical developed opiates in labs. You wonder, like, why is that such a hard habit to break? Why is that such a demon in people's lives that they just keep? It's literally because it literally changes the way that your brain works. And with heroin and opiate addiction, it can take 2, 3, 4, 5 years even for your brain to heal itself after you're completely free. And stress can do a similar thing where it literally rewires and changes the way your brain functions, okay? So you might say, man, since all this COVID stuff, since the last couple of years, man, I find it so hard to focus. I'm forgetting stuff that I've known. I'm forgetting combinations to locks and phone numbers that I've known for years. I can't figure out. I forgot my own address one time or whatever it is. You're thinking, man, am I getting dumber? Am I getting No. Your brain has been damaged by a prolonged stressful event that you didn't even really realize you were being damaged by. Amen? And so I share that to say, that's not an excuse, and that's not just like, well, this is, no. But I share that to say, listen, we got to understand that we've been through a season globally and been through a season in our world where, man, part of it has probably, whether we realize it or not or want to admit it or not, has at least the potential to literally change the way your brain is now operating, and mine as well. And I'm sharing that to say this. It may take some time to recover and heal from that. Amen? It may take some time to recover and heal from that. And let's take the last couple of years, let's take COVID and all that out of the situation. Whatever traumatic situation, whatever things are causing stress in your life, whatever trauma, because some of you have been dealing with traumatic, post-traumatic stress for years before any of this other stuff, and maybe you didn't even realize it, or you have realized it and been struggling with it and working with it. You understand that when you live through something like that, it changes the way your brain works. Physically, chemically. And it's not just slap yourself and get out of it and get over it. You got to give yourself time to eat. So what do I do while I'm waiting for the word to take effect and for this peace to come into my life? I'm going to give us a few practical things I think that we need to probably have invest in our life and work into our lifestyle. What do I do while I'm waiting for the word to work? The first is this. You need to find some time to rest. Amen? You need to find some time to rest. In fact, I'll get to that in a second. And when I say rest, no, I want you to know that probably means, yes, you can go on a vacation and get some rest, but that's real temporary, okay? If you only have 1 or 2 weeks of vacation a year and that's your only time to rest and relax throughout the other 52 weeks of the year, you're never going to recover in 1 or 2 weeks from 50 weeks of breakneck speed stressed out. So we've got to build some rest into our lifestyle so that we can properly recover and give the word a chance to work. Amen, somebody? Okay. One of my favorite stories of this in the Bible is in 1 Kings. The prophet Elijah has just had the showdown with the prophets of Baal. Okay, 1 Kings 18. We know the story of the fire from heaven falls on the altar and all the prophets of Baal get killed. And then right after this great victory where Israel repents, they come back to God. They just decide, we're going to worship Jehovah again. We're done with Baal. We're done with this idol worship. Jezebel, the queen, gets upset at Elijah and vows to kill Elijah. So after this great victory, Elijah now has to run for his life. And the Bible says that in 1 Kings 19, Elijah runs to the desert, fleeing for his life. And the Bible says, he sits down under a rock, basically, and he prays this prayer. He says, God, I'm ready to quit, and I'm ready to die. I'm done. I've had enough. I've tapped out. I've had my limit. I'm stressed to the max. That's it, okay? And the Bible says in 1 Kings 19, around verse 4, that an angel of the Lord shows up and wakes up Elijah. Basically, Elijah says, Lord, I'm gonna go to sleep under this rock and I don't want to wake up. This is a man of God. This is a man of God. Hey, got good news for you. If Elijah, the prophet, a man of God, can deal with mental stuff and have to have God work on his soul, so can you and me. Amen? Light says, man, I'm ready to quit. I'm gonna go to sleep, and I want to wake up in heaven. I'm done with earth, Lord. An angel shows up, stirs Elijah, and Elijah wakes up, and there's a meal there waiting for him. Elijah eats the meal, goes back to sleep, takes a big, long nap, and then God wakes him up again and says, come over here, and they has this great encounter, and God gives him the next part of his instruction. Elijah was ready to quit, and God showed up with a nap and a good meal. What did Elijah need? He needed rest. He needed some nutrition physically, okay? So I would say this, listen, don't ever give up and don't ever quit without a nap and a good meal, okay? And I'm serious. Sometimes you just need to get a nap in and rest and get some sleep, okay? You're not designed to only, listen, again, you're talking about healing your brain that's damaged, okay? You know what happens in recovery? You know, when you sleep, that's when your body recovers and heals itself. Did you know that? In fact, some of the greatest, this is, I know I talk about this all the time, but some of the greatest, strongest power lifters that have broken world records, like 1,000-pound squats, 800-pound bench presses, these guys that have done amazing feats of strength that I will never, I've decided I'm not going to get there, I don't think, in this lifetime. But that's okay. I'm at peace with that, and okay, and that's fine. But you know, there's a phrase in that goes like this. They say it doesn't matter how much weight you can lift. It only matters how much weight you can lift and recover from, okay? Because unless your body recovers, you'll never be able to push it to the next level. Does that make sense? And guess what? Sleep is a big part of recovery, physically and mentally. If you're only getting 3-4 hours of sleep, that's not healthy. You can't do that for very long. Amen? You've got to, so if you're saying it to a point, if you've been living a breakneck lifestyle and you're not getting a lot of sleep, you're not sleeping, fix your sleep. That's something you can do. That's a practical thing you can do while you're waiting on the word to work. Amen? A nap and a good meal. When I say a good meal, that may not mean what tastes good, okay? Because McDonald's is awesome, let's face it, okay? I mean, they know what they're doing. Listen, I know it's gross after you eat it, but why, all you crazy people shaking your head, If you get a fresh, and I know it's difficult to do, but if you get a fresh batch of McDonald's fries, with the appropriate amount of salt on it, I'm telling you right now, that's very hard to beat against any other food item. I don't care what it is. Now, you're going to feel gross afterwards. Yes, you're going to feel like, why did I do that? But while you're eating it, you're going to smile, okay? That's the truth. And if you're not on board with that, you're a liar, okay? And okay, when you're eating a Big Mac, when you're eating a Big Mac that has been assembled properly, it's real hard to be unhappy, okay? I loathe myself after the Big Mac, okay? After the third Big Mac, I really loathe myself. But why, okay? So yes, that is good. I'm talking about if I'm eating Big Macs and McDonald's French fries 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, if that's my go-to for nutrition, it's going to be hard to feel good long term. Okay? So there's some simple things like diet and rest and sleep, making sure I'm getting proper nutrition that can make, listen, I know you're like, what do you know about nutrition? I know I'm overweight, but I do despite what you might see, I really do eat pretty healthy. I eat healthy and then I eat the other crap on top of it. That's my problem, you know what I mean? That's really what it is. Like, I'll eat chicken and salad all day long, and then I'll go to bed with a box of cereal. And that's my issue. That's okay. So it's, I eat the good stuff, and then I also eat the bad stuff with it. Okay. But here's the thing. I've noticed this in my life. If I'm only eating trash, man, I can feel that in my body. Like, you ever just woke up one day and you're like, man, I've got to like have a salad, you know? Like, I need some roughage or whatever. I don't know. I need whatever vitamin. Like, I just need that. The other day, I was like, man, I was craving an orange. And I ate like, this is my issue. I ate like 3 oranges. Like, and I was like, I was just gobbling up these oranges. I don't know. I just figured there was like a vitamin C deficiency in my life. I don't know. But you can get in tune with that and go, man, those cravings. What I'm saying is this. Don't give up until we first at least made an effort to fix some of these physical things that have an effect on our soul. you're not sleeping properly, that's going to affect your soul. It's going to affect your mind. It's going to affect how you think. It's going to affect how you feel. You're eating garbage 24/7, it's going to affect how you feel, man. It's going to affect your ability to heal, okay? So I spent too much time on that. Don't give up without a nap and a good meal. Fix those habits and develop those habits. The second thing, the second idea is this. Unplug from the bad and plug into the good, okay? Unplug from the bad and plug into the good. Proverbs 25, verse 25, it says, good news from a faraway land, good news from a faraway land is like cold water to the thirsty, okay? Here's the thing. If you flip that around backwards, flip those words, I think it's also true. What he says is good news from a faraway land has an effect on you. But if you're getting bad news from a faraway land, that also is going to have an effect on you. You know what? We live in a time where because of these devices that we all carry around, we are exposed to every drip and drop of bad news from every corner of the globe and beyond. Listen, that has an effect on your soul. Amen? God did not create you and I to take in and absorb all of the bad news and all of the bad information and be aware of and deal with every single human atrocity and thing that happens throughout the world. Amen? And so at some point, I need to unplug from some bad news and plug into something good. Amen? I started doing this. I started putting social media limits on my phone so that it would shut off after a certain amount of usage a day. And I would have to, I have the code, I can undo it. If I really want, if that's a problem, I'll give the code to Luann and be like, and then tell her not to give it to me if I'm out of my time. It's not a big deal right now. Just to say, hey, you've had enough today. You've had enough scrolling. You've had enough information. Unplug for a little while. Amen? And I'm gonna, that social media, listen, unplug from CNN. Unplug from Fox News. Unplug from these things that are, listen, we said, well, we need to know what's going on. Yeah, you need to go know what's going on, but you don't need to know every little thing that's happening. Because the reality is, a lot of the stuff that you're seeing, the information you're absorbing, it has zero impact on your day-to-day life. Should we care about what's happening in Africa? Yeah, we should care. Yeah, we should help where we can, but not at the cost of my soul. Not at the cost of my soul. If that's affecting me, if that's affecting my ability to function in the world, if that's affecting my ability to connect with God, if that's affecting the way that I see my life, a lot of times you think, oh, the world's going to hell and it's all so terrible. I got to tell you right now, you stop watching CNN, Fox, and unplug from social media for a couple days, you'll look around and go, man, the world is really not that bad. Because our lens, because most of that stuff that we're getting all upset about has zero effect on what we're doing right now today, okay? So unplug from some bad, and at the same time, plug into something good, okay? Connect to something good. Connect, whether that's a hot, listen, I'm not talking about just reading the Bible and praying. That's the given. That's the baseline. Man, spend some time doing a hobby you like. Go on a hike. Get in nature. Connect with God's creation. Okay, I know that kind of sounds like weird hippy-dippy stuff. That's fine. I don't care. That's good for your soul, man. You're connecting with God. Created. Do you like building stuff and working with wood, and you're able to do it? Then do it. Have a good time with it. You know what I mean? That's not my thing. I like weightlifting. I like hunting. I like shooting my bow. I tell you right now, I love archery. I love shooting my bow. That's something I love and enjoy doing. I tell you what, 20 minutes shooting a few arrows. Can do wonders to just, you know why? Here's why that's really important. Hobbies, whether it's golf, weightlifting, exercise, whatever it takes, okay? When I say exercise, you don't have to be a power lifter and train for powerlifting meets like I like to do. You can go on a walk. You can do whatever. Physical activity, man. Break a sweat. Something to get the blood flowing. Gosh, that helps. You know why one of the big reasons that helps? You should, when you do something that requires 100% of your focus, it gives your brain the opportunity to take a break from all the other stuff that's stressing it out. Amen? So like if you go on a run and you run hard enough and long enough to where the only thing you can think about is putting one foot in front of another, guess what's going on? Your brain is taking a break from all the other stuff. That's why it's so important and so healthy. Amen? Okay? So plug into something good. Plug into church. Plug into church groups. Plug into the Bibles. Plug into these things. Serve somewhere. Serve to, sit to. Plug into something that can refresh and feed your soul while you unplug from the other junk. Amen? Okay? I'm gonna send you this week. I know I'm running tight on time. I'm almost done. I'm gonna send you something this week that I have been doing just in the last probably 5 or 6 weeks that I think is really helpful. I'm gonna send you a link to an app. It's a free app. It's called the Pause app. And it's been developed by a guy I mentioned last week, a Christian psychologist named John Eldridge. And what it is an app you can put on your phone. I believe it's available for Android and Apple. But you can basically set up a reminder a couple times a day, and it'll send a notification to your phone, and it will say, take your pause, and you click on the app, and you open it up, and there's different, like, 1 minute, 3 minute, even 10 minute pauses, and some music will play, and it'll lead you through a little time of prayer, just to take a pause, and what? Disconnect from garbage, connect with God for a minute throughout your day. Amen, somebody? Okay, I'm telling you, I've been doing that recently through Monday through Friday especially. I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing how taking just a 1 minute break and saying, God, I'm just here. I'm going to focus on you for a minute. Whew. Amen. Okay, so unconnect and connect. At the same time, when you're stressed out and you're maxed out and you're tapped out, listen, fight the urge to isolate. Fight the urge to isolate yourself. When you're struggling, when you're stressed out, some of us, the urge might be to unplug from church, disconnect from friends, disconnect from family, disconnect from things that have brought life to you, okay? Fight that urge to isolate, okay? You're like, well, I just can't do it. I just can't connect. I can't get back in the group. Listen, I know that it might be hard to connect with people, okay? But that's a good kind of hard thing to do. Amen? Because it's also hard to stay isolated. Amen, somebody? It's also hard to live all by yourself, okay? It's also hard to stay isolated. So you can either choose a hard thing to do that's good for you, or you can choose a hard thing to do that's bad for you. Do the hard thing that's good for you. Amen? Okay? Last thing, and then we're going to pray. You may need to seek professional help on some of this stuff, okay? We're talking about your mind and your brain. While you're waiting for the word to take effect in your life, while you're waiting for the peace of God, listen, I want you to understand something. There is no shame in needing someone who has been trained professionally to help you work through what's going on in your mind and in your brain and in your soul, okay? Let me share this quote from Charles Spurgeon. Charles Spurgeon was one of the greatest. He's many heralded him as the greatest gospel preacher who lived in the 1800s here in America. And Spurgeon said this. He said, "The mind can descend far lower than the body." Listen to this. "The mind can descend far lower than the body, for in it there are bottomless pits. The flesh, our bodies, the flesh can bear only a certain number of wounds and no more. But the soul can bleed in 10,000 ways and die over and over again each hour." Okay? The body will give out after so much damage. The soul can keep getting damaged, and keep sinking, okay? And listen, there's no shame in having a professional help you work through the vast, complex, and nuanced trauma that might be affecting your soul. Amen, somebody? Now, this last thing, it says, "Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts." His peace will guard your hearts. Man, I really keyed in on that phrase, "His peace will guard your hearts," this week while I studied for this. I just kept imagining. Have you ever seen videos, or some of you maybe been to Washington, D.C. and seen the in Arlington National Cemetery, the tomb of the unknown soldier? And they have those guards that are posted there 24 hours a day. I think, I don't know how long, for as long as that's been around, there has been a sentry, a guardian. And that word guard in the Greek, it's a military term. It means a sentinel or a sentry. Someone posted there. I know those guards, to be a part of that guard, they're actually, I can't remember the name of the regiment. Some of you military guys may know exactly, but I know their nickname, they're called the Old Guard. And it's incredibly high honor to be selected to be one of those guys that stand guard at the tomb of the unknown soldier in Arlington National Cemetery. They walk back and forth on that rubber mat. And as I was thinking about that, I was looking at that, I started researching that a little bit, and I came across some videos that were comical, but also pretty powerful of, and you can look at this on YouTube, of when people, you know, they have like a chain around it, and you're not supposed to go up the stairs or over that chain. And man, when some idiot has crossed that chain, that guard that you think is not paying attention snaps. Have you ever seen videos like that? Like, there was this one, this lady was trying to cut across this thing, and the guard all of a sudden snapped to, points his rifle at the lady and says, "Ma'am, we were sweet," and they start screaming at her, get back. I thought, man, that's the visual that the Bible paints for us. Peace guarding your heart. We follow the blueprint. As the word begins to work, what we can find is that God will grant peace to guard our hearts. And when stress and worry and fear and anxiety and these things in the world try to get in, we can have a guardian of our soul that says, no, you can't come. This is a line you can't cross, baby. Amen, somebody? How many want to experience God's peace like that in your life? Man, I know I do. Will you stand me all over this place this morning? You know what's wild too? Those soldiers that have been sent, have been placed to guard, they have never taken a break. There has never not been a moment where there has not been a guardian there. Through pandemics, through even protest, even through riots. Last year, when all those crazy things were happening, or a couple years, when all those crazy things were happening in Washington, D.C., the guards held their post and said, "Ain't nothing coming through here without a fight." That's the kind of peace God has for us. Isn't that powerful to think about? I want us to pray. I want to lead us in prayer. This is how we're going to end our time this morning. I know I went longer than I intended, and I don't apologize, but this is where we are. This is a powerful tool that I want you to get, and this is what we're doing every single week through this series, because this is what you've got to do. We've got to learn how to pray the word of God over our lives. Amen. I just invite you all right now. I'm going to lead you in prayer, and we're going to just pray this word and begin to pray this blueprint and just speak this word over our lives, man. If you want peace that guards your heart, like the Bible talks about, we just lift your hands for a moment all over this room. Just lift your hands. We lift our hands as a sign of openness and surrender. This way to say, God, I'm open to whatever you have for me in this moment. You may want to close your eyes. You don't have to. But I'm going to ask everyone, if you're here listening, you're online somewhere listening, just repeat these words after me and just follow my lead for a second. Here's what we're going to pray. Pray this with me. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for peace in my life that doesn't make any sense. I release all of my worries, all of my fears to you in this moment. In Jesus' name. Now just take a second right now. Don't repeat this one. Just take a second. Either in your mind, in your heart, or even out loud if you need to. Just release your worries and fears to him. Just give those to him. Whatever's been keeping you up at night, whatever's been questioning and tormenting your mind and your heart, come on, just release that to him right now. Lord, we give that to you. Every fear, every worry about what's next, every worry about how we're going to get through, every worry about whatever's keeping us up at night, Lord, right now in Jesus' name. God, we release that to you right now. We ask you to take that. This may sound weird, but in my spirit right now, I just see like helium balloons just being let go, man. You've been carrying something around, worried about it, and right now in the spirit, you're just maybe just letting that thing go, and it's gone. He's taking it. It's away from your life. Release that to you right now in Jesus' name. Repeat this part to me. Lord, you've moved in my life before, and you will do it again thank you for everything you've already done for me in Jesus' name. Come on, take a second right now. Just thank him for everything he's done. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you for healing me, Lord. Thank you, God, for come on, get specific if you can right now, man. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for the time when I was in Bible college and I was in the hospital and I had a staph infection that almost killed me. I thank you that you healed me in that moment. Lord, I thank you for the family that you brought into my life. I thank you for my kids, God, that are healthy and that and Lord, that are in my life. I thank you for the wife that you brought into my life, God. Come on, just think, Lord, I thank you for every time that I didn't know how we were going to get put food on the table, Lord, but you came through, Lord, with every single time. I thank you for that, Jesus. Hallelujah. I thank you for the times that I thought something bad was happening, but you turned it around for something good, Lord. I thank you for the time my car burnt up while I was working at a job. And God, you used that insurance money to get me a better car and to bless us, God. All those times, I thank you for them, Lord. In Jesus' name. Repeat this last part to me. I invite the peace of God to be posted as the guard of my heart right now in Jesus' name. Thank you for caring for my soul. Jesus, my shepherd. Come on, just thank you for a second. Come on, Lord, we love you. We worship you. Stretch your hands this way. Receive this blessing from the Lord. I'm going to send you some more Bible stuff this week. I'm going to send you a link to that app, man, so be looking for that. If you've never gotten an email or never gotten a text message from us, you can do that. Go to redlifechurch.com, fill out the new here form, or you can do a text message. Text one word, the red life, to 88202. Okay, and that will get you plugged in so you don't miss that. I want you to have that. So receive this right now. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you. And the Lord give you peace in Jesus' name.
You can have my